Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 17th. Of September 2013 to discuss the activity in the stock market. The most interesting thing seems to me that once Larry Summers decided to throw his hat out of the ring, the market went up big time.
Yeah, who threw who out?
Well, I don't know.
Do you think he just said, "Hey, you know what? I really don't want to have this hassle." And okay, I give in. I'm good.
Well, it's because a bunch of Democrats are going to vote against him. The Republicans always like to harass these guys, and so he figured, "What's the point?" Seems to me.
It was interesting that there was. First of all, there didn't have to be this much politicizing of this position. You know, that we go back and forth before even his name officially mentioned. The floating the trial balloons was all over the place. From in the Nikkei newspaper, talked about Larry Summers that was going to be the appointment. There was discussion out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at the big economic hoo-ha that Larry Summers was going to be the person. And then we had that big New York Times article, and now, interesting, 4 p.m. on a Sunday evening, 2 hours before the U.S. futures open and the world futures around open. Larry Summers says, you know what, due to all these different circumstances, and particularly because it wouldn't be a good thing, it seems, from, as you mentioned, the political end of things, well, I'm just going to, withdraw my name. And then immediately, the U.S. dollar plunges. I sent over a chart to you to take a look at.
Yeah.
It was quick. And that started a major move in markets around the world, which was fascinating. And that carried over to the next day for a bit. Then it came down after the shooting in the Navy Yard and a few other things that happened. But it was really kind of fascinating that there was such an abrupt move. This just shows you how much the futures are dependent on, or at least are easily moved by, this kind of data. It really is kind of ridiculous.
It used to all be behind the scenes. This is terrible that this is now in the forefront.
Everything's in the forefront, and everything is up for discussion, and everything is out in the open. In the old days, you didn't get the price.
Thanks to the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks to the internet and this overall, I don't want to say administration, but the government that we have now in general. You know, everything is out there, which is good and bad. I don't know necessarily if it's such a good thing to have such transparency.
And the transparency is not that good. This is not what I consider transparency. Transparency to me, at least when it was first promised to be a great transparent government, is posting stuff a few days before the bills are supposed to be voted on, that sort of thing, or what the government, who's meeting with the president, and that sort of thing. That's a lot different than this. This is just like a gossipy transparency.
But for a benefit of used to get opinion and public opinion or mold public opinion, either one, you would think. Now, the reason why, it really wasn't so much that Larry Summers was not going to be in the race, and we really don't know the official names, by the way, because there's a list of people who could possibly be Fed chair, but we don't know the official list. But Janet Yellen, who is now the second to Bernanke in, currently operating, and has probably the best experience when it comes to the current rules and types of stimulus that are in effect, the objectives and how they're doing what they're doing, is the other person that the markets believe will be appointed. And as such, Janet Yellen, who I believe is more dovish than Ben Bernanke, is the reason why this happened.
What do you mean by dovish?
Well, you look at hawkish and dovish. Hawkish is always, these people who are hawkish, you say, are always looking to fight inflation and, are really nervous about keeping interest rates down, too much stimulus, et cetera. Dovish, on the other hand, is a term used to describe the Fed or other inflation watchers that are unconcerned with it, are very much, they're very much okay with stimulus, low interest rates, and don't think that inflation's an issue.
Well, it's not.
Well, I'm just telling you what the, you know, the two. So you look at a, there are those in the Fed that are usually quote unquote hawkish who don't say that we can, should continue on with the bond buying or the stimulus. And there's those that say, yeah, give them more. So they can switch around, by the way. You know, you become dovish or hawkish. When you get the Fed minutes, when the readings, when you read through it, you can say this is more dovish than the last one. This is more hawkish than the last one. So it'll give you a marking of how they're viewing interest rates and where they're going. So that's the phrase that he used.
Okay. All right. Well, Yellen, at least the people believe, will sustain the $85 billion a month buying program.
Yeah, and that's all up for grabs tomorrow. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock is supposedly the time and date that the Fed is going to start the taper program or start tapering the program. And there's talk about upwards
or not.
The economic data that they are dependent on has been questionable. And the idea behind, you know, where inflation is and the unemployment rate is, you know, also questionable. But Goldman says that, hey, they believe their best estimate is a $20 billion taper, meaning they're only going to be buying $65 billion per month.
Interesting.
Okay. So they range all over the place. Now, the markets are suggesting, from what I'm seeing, the equity markets, first of all, they probably don't care, which is very fascinating because we're almost to a new high on the S&P again after seeing a correction of about a whopping 3%. Gold, on the other hand, and silver are plummeting. Gold is now under $1,300 an ounce as we talk. That will all be a very wide trade tomorrow at 2 o'clock and beyond. Because 2 o'clock is when the official statements come out and the minutes and all that. And then I think it's 2:30 or 2:45 that Bernanke does his press conference. That's when all the stuff comes out. Mm. So it's a big day tomorrow for those who are looking for
a big
the
day.
Stimulus. Yep, it is a big day. Big, big day.
All right. So we'll see what happens with that. Now we have to discuss at least for a minute here the close to the pin contest. How do we do?
Oh, actually, I'll tell you. That was for Apple. The one that closed just now was for Apple. There was a lot of participation with that. And Apple had a very tough time, you know, from the time that we announced it to the time it came out, because we had that iPhone announcement and Apple was sold off pretty badly. So I think that on average, there was, let's see, I can pull this up here. On average on Apple, the number was 455. Excuse me, the average entry was 511. 511.96 to be exact. And
when we started the contest, what was it?
Apple was it was above 500, maybe 520.
Oh, it was above 511.
Probably.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't think people were going to go bullish.
Yeah, there was the higher person was 625, low was about 460. The fascinating thing is it ended lower than the lowest entry.
Yeah, that's an interesting phenomenon. I thought that was fascinating.
You know,
because people
were
very optimistic.
Yeah, optimistic. Even so, I mean, you know, the average entry was the 511. So you were let's see, 495. I was at 472. I came in fifth.
Ah.
So yeah, the winner came in at 460.01. And you want to announce who it is?
That's Machin D.
Yep.
From Nicaragua.
I think that's where it's from.
Yeah.
So you win another copy of The Disciplined Investor. Woo! Bells and whistles and kazoos and all that good stuff.
When we get it, when this thing starts to take off as a concept, we'll have some. Not that this is not a bad gift. Win.
All right, you know what?
Prize.
I gotta go. That's it.
It's just that. But this guy sounds good. I would like to find it. If we should have a couple of these guys who win. We should keep eyes on them. Call them the winner circle. And we'll see if any of them are really consistently good.
Yeah. He was only 1% away, and that was a pretty wide swing for Apple. I mean, last week's winner for IBM was only 0.1% away.
Yeah.
And we just closed the books on 3M, and that is the current price on 3M is $119.93. So we'll find out next week who the winner of that was. And starting on Wednesday morning or in the evening on the 17th, excuse me, on the 18th, you'll have the Boeing company. Boeing, of course, making the 787 and all those wonderful airplanes. Boeing is going to be the place to put your entry into. So you go over to DH Unplugged, you look at closest to the pin, click it, and just fill out the data. And you too could be the winner of my crappy book, it seems.
It's not a crappy book at all. It's a great book. In fact, don't I have a blurb on that book?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
I just don't blurb anything.
Uh-huh. I hear you. But anyway, so that's going to be something we'll remind you before the end of this, because we want to get a good opportunity for our listeners who always watch us do our stock picks at the end, where we have that stock picks each week, and have you have the opportunity to participate as well. So I'll mention a couple of different things. A lot of technology things that are happening. Adobe came out with earnings this evening, and they missed on sales. They missed on EPS. The stock was down 5%. Now, that was for about 3 minutes. Now, all of a sudden, they come out with their announcement on how many new additions they have for the Creative Cloud, which is their subscription service for all this.
Yeah.
So they had 331,000 added during the period, and there was only a estimate of about 221,000. So the stock ran up pretty good, about, you know, from down 5% to about up 4%. About a 10% move. Now, the company then guided down significantly for the next quarter, 28 cents to 34 cents versus 41, which is a pretty significant guide on the low side. And they guided down on revenues of as well. They also announced a 1 million. They reached the 1 million mark for Creative Cloud subscriptions. And the stock finished end of the session up 5%, which is a new high for the last however long. Which is really kind of fascinating, because the only metric they looked at was this issue of the subscriptions, because they're looking further out and saying, okay, if there's this many subscriptions and this much growth, then it could be this much revenue moving forward. But the thing that stuck to me was the guiding so much lower. You would think that there'd be a little bit of
maybe they're trying to get people to or they're trying to catch the market by beating.
Maybe. I mean, a little sandbagging, we call that.
Yeah, sandbagging, that's what it is.
But that's a pretty significant, I mean, 28 on the low end, 34 on the high end, yeah. Versus a 41.
Well, maybe there's something coming up, some cost.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, they are, in fact, this Creative Cloud is a good thing, and it is doing well. I mean, the big thing with having the cloud as and a monthly subscription is that you really start to significantly hamper the hacking and the breaking the code to try to get the product, right?
Yeah, it's almost, yeah, you have to have, right now you can still use, but then again, you can still use older versions.
Right.
They're not that different. There are a few things on the cloud you can't get otherwise, and some of those are valuable. But generally speaking, it probably will be a couple of years or more before, The products are so different on the cloud that you really don't want the older disk versions, because they won't work.
Won't work, yeah. So, anyway, that was kind of interesting news to watch, especially with that big move. We also saw that Facebook was up 6% today. All of a sudden, this is the darling of investors. You know, everybody hated it for forever.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they had mobile money come in and revenue, and everybody's all excited.
Oh, mobile money doing what?
It seems that 40% of this of the revenue last quarter was from mobile. Now, I don't get that.
I'm in a drawback situation, because I don't use Facebook, and if I did use Facebook, I seriously doubt I'd be using the mobile version.
Well, I mean, listen, the younger generation, which you're clearly not a part of, by the way.
I think, by the way, there's a lot of old fogies that use Facebook, and probably many of them use it on the phone.
Well, but these kids use it all the time on the phone. They're always on.
They're doing something on the phone constantly.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is in there, and they're looking at it. They can message on there, and they can look at what's going on and who's slandering them or telling them how great they are, uploading photos, whatever. But I have the app, and I don't really understand where the mobile – I don't know where the money comes in from the mobile. Unless it's these games, I mean – Candy Crush and all that has the link with Facebook and all that. They get a piece of that, or whatever other games being played. So I thought that was kind of, I don't know, because there's not enough room on the screen to really put too much in the advertising there. And I don't recall seeing any advertising on my Facebook when I
think mobile advertising is a loser. I could be wrong, and I'm sure I am. But I just think it personally, I find it to be, you know, it's annoying. It gets on the screen. I mean, I just don't like it. Of course, I don't like the regular advertising either. So I guess.
Well, the only time I press any of those mobile ads is by accident.
My thumb gets where they make all their money.
Yeah, exactly. So you gotta click on that. Now, Twitter is getting a little bit tiring to me. You know, one of the things that's been happening is since we talked about this several times, but since the Netflix situation where there was an announcement on Facebook and then the court ruled, okay, that was public and all that, public knowledge, it was okay. We're seeing a lot more of the investors, hedge funds, and a variety of others that are now tweeting. For example, Bill Gross, who I respect immensely, by the way, runs the PIMCO funds and the largest bond funds out there right now, and big dude, you know, I mean, major player. He says, I believe this is Twitter, that tomorrow will be a volatile one way or the other. Expect lower yields for 1 to 5 year treasuries.
Well, that's useful.
That's what I thought. I mean, what is that? I mean, that's one thing. Then you got Carl Icahn using it very smartly, in a smart way. He's, you know, giving little nudges like what he did with Apple, and Apple, you know, flew through 500. And now it's back down to, you know, much lower than it was after they came out with their new phone. But, you know, I mean, it's being used like that, and you see a lot of movement, you know, with whether it's the various, hashtags that are used or the symbology. You can use a dollar sign in front of a symbol, so that then pulls up all the symbols. In other words, if you put dollar sign IBM, that's the way to sort and look for anything that's on IBM. But I don't know, I'm finding it a little bit tiring. But yet at the same time, now they're going public. I thought the timing was pretty good.
Yeah, well, for them, in terms of getting the guys who had the have all the stock, are going to make quite a bit of money. I'm not absolutely sure what their long term the company is.
Well, they're making I think $250 million a year, I believe, is the number right now.
No,
which is not a lot of money, but
it's nothing to sneeze at.
No, not at all. I mean, I remember the days that Twitter was you know, one server, and there was always remember that.
And the guy who coded it didn't get any stock, as far as I can tell.
Really?
Yeah,
no, that's
terrible.
Terrible. That's the way it goes. And, you know, anyway, so back to Facebook for 1 second. Remember we talked about that pattern that when it went over 38, it would probably back off a little bit, and then it would move through there once you kind of get rid of all those sellers that were at that level. Came down, went to 45, which was the post-IPO high from back then, and came off of that, and then just ramped today. I don't know if it was because a couple of the, execs, two major execs were leaving Facebook. I don't know where they're exactly going, or they're just cashing in, or what the story is, but nonetheless, the stock was back at 45 today. Hmm. We'll see how that plays out, you know, in terms of if it can really get much higher than this. I'd be very surprised if next quarterly earnings are going to be, you know, the excitement that was this quarterly earnings. I think it's really run up a little bit much compared to where the earnings are.
Okay.
And speaking about social media, we'll kind of clean up with this. It seems that Iran, after shutting down the various social media sites for the last, 4 years or so since the uprisings back in 2009, had it come back on again. And you were allowed access.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but then they closed it down 1 day later.
Well, it was a day anyway.
Yeah, it was a day of joy. Hopefully everybody got their updates out in, you know what I mean? The last 4 years of updates. Yeah,
4 years of beep, 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 beep.
Oh, let's see. What else do we have here? Syria's over, by the way. It seems like Syria's out of the news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Over.
It never hear about him again.
That was nice. That was. That. I'm very happy
about that.
At least
we didn't have to bomb them yet.
Yeah, we're not going to bomb them. And, you know, they're going to take all their various chemical weaponry that's been confirmed, not confirmed, confirmed, and all that, and move it aside and destroy it somewhere, and we're all happy, happy. I tell you something, Russia's getting the better of us, huh?
At the moment. In terms of, like, yeah, well, they're out, you know, it's, yeah, they're opposite. They're positioning themselves. Well, they're getting the best of us, I guess, in this, just for a short political period, but we pretty much rousted them out of the Middle East, except for Syria. I guess we finally
We had something else that happened recently, too, with Russia that was, they were again, what was it that happened? There was something that went on that they were against, and it was, you know, they seems to, Putin seems to be really flexing his muscle a little bit and trying to, you know, because of course he wants to win the next election. It's kind of, you know,
well, he just rigs the ballot. It's not like a problem.
No kidding. All right. So let's see. We have clean energy companies in the news. We see that Ecotality, which is a fatality, they're filing for bankruptcy. These are electric car batteries.
Oh, yeah. These are all the companies that our government, I think, backed.
Yep. $100 million.
Gone. $100 million down the drain.
Not that bad. It could have been billions.
We're not, our government should not be an investor.
Yeah. They're not. They're more of a...
Oh, that's right. The taxpayer is.
Yeah, but then they're basically a grantor.
Yeah, they just throw the money away.
Yeah, they're grantors. And
yeah,
$100 million.
Might as well. You know, they could get stock, but what's the point?
You know, just to let you know, I believe that I have a business plan that I haven't really presented to you yet, but I think it'll go along with it. I mean, we have a eco-friendly podcast.
Yeah, we're green.
Yeah, very green, and I think that this is the future. And I think we should present this to the government for a little. You know, we're only asking for $5 million.
Okay, I'm in.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. $5 million to keep us going.
$5 million. Keep us rolling for a little while, and I think we'll be okay. I mean, you know, it may take us a long time to go bankrupt, but, you know, we have the opportunity to really do something useful, I think.
I think so, too. More useful mm-hmm. than the average podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. There's another green energy, you know, clean energy fuels, which is they do the gas stations, if you will, but for natural gas. You know, the big issue with natural gas is, okay, natural gas is clean, efficient, and it can be used in cars and all this stuff, but you can't get a filling station anywhere.
Yeah, you have to go to the Google and look for natural gas facilities. And in my area, I think I'd have to drive, whatever my savings are, I'd have to drive that far to get a fill up.
Right.
It's in somewhere over by the Oakland Coliseum, as I recall.
But they're starting to, could you bury a natural gas tank? And then, you know, because you can have, you know, gas for stoves and barbecues and all that, right? Isn't that what the same thing?
That's propane.
No, they have natural gas, too. They do that. I mean, up in New York, when I lived there, it was natural gas that you got piped in your house.
Yeah, okay.
So why can't you bury a big old tank?
Why do you have to bury it?
Well, all right, don't bury it. But whatever, put it wherever you want and then just fill up your car using that.
That's actually you have me completely stunned because I never thought of that.
Hmm.
So in other words, here's the business. Here's the business.
Yeah.
It's a little, some sort of a converter. The gas line comes in, you offset it and one pipe goes over to a filling station. Why even put a tank up? Just, hook the car up to the natural gas pipe. That's coming in, you know, it's always circulating. You just turn it on and let it go right into the car.
Yeah. I mean, I think you need pressure, I guess, but, you know.
I don't know. How much pressure do you need?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you can have a little pump in front of it.
Yeah.
It sucks it out of the pipe and then with pressure pumps it into the car.
So we're the only ones who thought of this? Nobody's thought of this.
I've, now that you mentioned it, I don't think I've ever heard of this idea.
Do you see the eco benefits of this podcast?
Yeah. People should, hey, if anybody runs off and does this idea, we want a piece of it.
Just a
couple of points. No big deal.
Right, right. And we can get backing from the government for you.
We can help.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a quick story. I have propane in my house, and we buried a 250-gallon tank when I bought the house.
So you have a propane tank at the house, and that's what you use to power the house?
No, we use it for the stove and a couple other devices.
Okay.
You know, a couple of things. I wouldn't cook on electric, and that's all I had.
And why is this?
No, it doesn't heat evenly. You know, I don't can't get the flambe going. You know, it's
I have all electric up in my place in Washington State, and everybody moans about this, but I'm someone who likes to cook. I don't really have that much of a problem with cooking on electric. It's heats fine. I mean, there's some old-fashioned electric stoves that I think are junk, but I mean the new ones,
I agree with you. I have one of those at my lake house, but we buried this 250-gallon tank, and I said to the guy at the time, you know, when should I call you for a refill? You know, was, well, 5 years. 5 years, I said. That seems like a long time. So I took his word for it.
Yeah.
I moved in 1995.
And you still have not used the
still
gas?
Still have not filled. I don't know.
How much did the initial filling cost?
It wasn't that much, but still the point is I don't know. Maybe they're filling it up and not charging me. I don't know. But I've not needed any gas.
Huh.
There's something wrong.
So 250 gallons of propane have lasted you a decade?
Yes. Is that ridiculous?
That's very interesting. There's another thing I didn't know.
I have no idea what it is. It doesn't seem right to me. I mean,
well,
I
you could have done some research and looked it up and found out what the usage rates are. I mean, you don't have it metered, I guess.
No, but I have a barbecue, for example, that I know of at my lake house, whatever. If you use those 5 gallon propane things, right?
Yeah.
I think they're 5 gallons. Yeah. And those run out all the time.
I think they leak.
All right. Well, whatever it may be, they run out.
Yeah, but you're talking about you got to 5 times 10, that's 50, and then times 5, you have 10 times, you have 50 of those little things inside the big one.
Well, right, but I mean I've
you haven't gone through 50 of them though.
I know, which I think is amazing.
Well, anyway. Huh.
Okay, moving along from that. Okay, now activist investors. Now, have you been hearing more about this at all? Reading the news?
No, I've been reading it a little bit, but I haven't noticed it was a major thing going on. Is it?
It seems to be more.
We should become activist investors.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Right, sure. We got the Twitter following.
We got the Twitter following. We got the podcast. We got a blogs. A couple blogs.
But all we have to do is buy in a big piece of the company now. So
just take a little piece and become activist. You don't have to own half the company.
Well, Value Act, I think, owns 1% of Microsoft.
Okay, well, let's go buy 1% of something.
Yeah, well,
obviously not Microsoft.
No, obviously not. You'd have to maybe Ecotality. But anyway, the thing is that now it seems that Microsoft is playing ball. You know, you see the Bomber is out, and all things exciting happen then, and then a few other things happen that weren't so good, and now they're announcing today, this morning, before the market opened, a $40 billion buyback program to, you know, repurchase their share and raising their dividend. Stock was up like 3% in the pre-market, and it closed up 0.4%. $40 billion announcement to close the stock up 0.5%.
Wow. Not good.
With a dividend as well.
Yeah.
And they also announced last weekend, they're going right after the iPad, a $200 credit to trade in the iPad for a Surface.
Okay. Well, so in other words, they've knocked up. I guess they could buy all these iPads and then job them out to some resale operation and sell them again.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Probably end up losing just $100.
Well, they're buying, they hopefully get people hooked on the Surface, and then they can spread it, and you know, it gets viral. That's the theory, right? And
then it's not going to happen,
right? But $200 credit. So you know, if I even handed my
an old dog that you're
still,
that would
it's
okay.
Got to be worth a few hundred bucks on eBay.
But they're not just going to give you $200 for it. You have to buy something,
right? Yeah, and trade in.
Yeah, and you're going to have to trade in for a Surface,
right?
It's kind of like
it's a losing deal.
It's not the way things are going to go.
Right. Now, it's definitely a losing deal. So, anyway, so let's keep going here. So, GM is now planning, again, the word, you have to remember these key words, planning.
Planning.
Framework. Framework, by the way, was the word used last week for what the plan for Syria is all about.
Framework.
There's a framework in place. Framework is a big word, meaning
we have
no idea.
Calculus has been coming up a lot, too.
Calculus?
Yeah. Well, Obama uses it all the time. It means it doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
Oh, so we have that. We also have strategic alternatives. That's a big one.
I like that.
Yeah, that's also, you know, stock goes up 20% on that right alone. We're looking at strategic alternatives. Boom, 20%. Anyway, GM is planning a long-range electric car to rival its competition, Tesla and Volkswagen, which is going to be $50,000 less than the Tesla model. This is the news that comes out today.
So wait, 50,000 less. Isn't the Tesla actually when the Tesla S first was announced? I think you could buy one for 55,000. So that doesn't sound right. But I think it's what is it selling now for? 85?
85 or so, yeah.
So they're going to sell for 35, which is the same price as the Volt.
Right. So okay. this is going to be a long range rival. And the thing though is that they're not going to do it right yet, because it's just a thought, because the batteries are still too expensive.
Well, then how does Tesla do it?
Well, Tesla charges an extra 30 something grand.
Oh, okay.
You know, but still the batteries are a big issue. I mean, you're still looking at you know, the batteries that are very heavy. They still only have a 280 mile range, which is plenty. Just hopefully there's a charging station in between.
Well, it depends on where you're going. Obviously, you're not going to go cross country through Wyoming with a Tesla.
Right. No, definitely not. That doesn't work.
You won't see too many of them in
Wyoming. No, that's not. Yeah, probably not on the open range. Nope. All right, so now a couple other things. And, you know, I should have sent this to you yesterday. So this is kind of a cool thing for anybody. This is just off the beaten path here a bit. But there's a program, I think it's called Young Eagles. And what it is, if you are under 18 years old, you get the opportunity to have a free introductory flight on like a single prop plane to see, you know, if you like the experience. And then you get some kind of a certificate with a code, and then you could take this course. Teach you all about, you know, airplanes and functioning and all this. And then you get another free flight, I suppose. And then you can then join their little club thing and all that. And then if you want to, there's all these different trainers and all that. They'll give you discounts, et cetera. But you have to do it before you're 18. So my son's going to turn 18 next week.
Well,
so he finds out about this and he shows up in my office and says, let's go. I'm like, where are we going? He says, I got the flight all ready to go. I'm like, you're kidding. So we go down to the local little airport here, right? And there's this plane there. There's this small little plane that says Navy on the side. It's got like the kind of the gray Navy Army kind of plane colors. And I'm like, that cannot be. That's not. He said, well, I think that's it. So we get up to it. It's built in the 1940s, this plane.
Yeah, it looks like a World War II plane.
Totally. Okay, I got to send you a picture of this. And I said, oh, this is really the plane you're going up in? So the guy says, yeah, I take it out all the time. This great little plane. This guy does it as a volunteer or whatever. And they get in the plane. The guy puts in his hearing aids, which was, I guess, good. You know, they sit in the thing. This cockpit is like enough for 1.5 people.
Yeah.
Not two.
You didn't go up with it.
No. I thought there'd be somebody on the ground to clean up if it need be, you know?
They gave you the broom.
Yeah. And, they started this thing up. It sounded like an old open pipe Chevelle.
So it's actually a gasoline or a gas engine. It's not a JP, it's not running jet fuel in a turbine. It's not a turbine.
No, it's a single prop.
Well, there's a lot of single prop turbines.
If you buy a plane today,
that's what you want.
This is really from the 1940s.
Yeah. So it'd be an old gas engine.
Yeah, so they go.
At least it wasn't a circular engine, though, was it?
No, it hit speeds of 90. So they take off and they climb. I'm like, are they actually moving? I'm watching this thing. I'm like, they don't seem to be moving, you know. And they go up, and I guess they went down to Miami and back and all that. And so it was pretty interesting. But that was.
Did your son bring a camera to get some nice shots?
Yeah, he got some cool shots up there. Okay. So and once they took off, they gave him the stick, and there was no pedals in this thing. It was just
it was a stick.
I got the cockpit pictures. I mean, it looks like it's right out of the 40s.
Yeah, joystick. Well, that's funny because the joystick has come back into vogue with the electronic fly-by-wire planes. You fly one of those big Airbuses, and you got a joystick, and you wiggle it around with your hand.
Mm. So anyway, just a little point of reference. I just thought of it. I think it's called, like I said, Young Eagle, I think it is. The Congressional Nonpartisan, you always have that in front. By the way, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, whenever it's mentioned, right before that, the word nonpartisan is put in. I guess to give it some kind of credibility, maybe?
I have no idea.
Yeah. So they said that the U.S. national debt is now about 73% of the gross domestic product, which is seemingly the highest in history except for a period right around World War II. And it's twice the percentage it was in 2007. So in other words, that translates to this. That from 2007 till now, we have issued more debt to pay for the crapola that went on to refund the banks or to fund the banks and to get us out of this hole for all of this to happen. And now it seems that in 25 years from now, under the current law and growing future deficits, we're going to be at 100% within 25 years. And now that President Obama wants to actually repeal the sequester, I don't know if you heard that in his latest speech that was supposed to be a commemoration of the anniversary of the financial crisis, and that happened on the day of the Navy shooting, which we can talk about if you want. I don't really get what happened there.
Yeah, and we'll discuss this on the No Agenda show.
Yeah, I don't even – it's beyond my understanding how this even went on. But anyway, we'll be at about 190% by 2038. I guess, you know, we're still not in really bad shape by – if we compare ourselves to, for example, Japan. But we are in some, you know, pretty ugly situation here, and it doesn't seem like the spending is going to stop too soon. I had a guest on the Disciplined Investor podcast this week. You know, Harry Dent, right?
Yeah, your old buddy.
Yep. You know, he predicts some things that are pretty harsh. You know, he doesn't say something like, you know, the Dow is going to hit, you know, we really see a problem. The Dow is going to be down to, you know, 13,000. That's not his kind of prediction.
No.
No, his kind of prediction is gold at 250.
Yeah, 250 bucks?
Yeah. And I said, Harry.
Wasn't he a gold bug of late?
He was.
And now he's at 250. How does that even make any sense?
Well, he gave all the reasons why. And we talked about, you know, what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and his thoughts on the market and the implosion that's going to happen in 2014, I think it is. This big market correction that's going to happen, which he gives some really good reasons using demographic economics. It's really fascinating about the people who are spending money and how old they are when they spend money. And the highest spending is at your 46, 48-year-old range, and then your spending drops off after kids go to college and all this other stuff and you big expenses, and you start saving now towards retirement, so you're not putting money into the system. Into the economic system. So you look at that and you do a study looking back at the births and lag it 46 or 48 years or so, and you can see this chart, and the chart shows a big drop off right about now of the births looking back 46 years. And when you look at that and you say, well, that between that and immigration and what the immigration numbers are showing at those ages, you know, there's a big drop. And if you then chart inflation adjusted S&P 500, for example, on top of that, it's a pretty interesting correlation.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. But anyway, gold is also expected to decline below 1,000, according to Goldman Sachs.
No.
So tonight...
And they're never wrong.
No, they can't be wrong because they are the market. I mean, if they say it...
So they must be pushing that for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, silver and gold have dropped really significantly since, you know, Syria has been totally cleaned up, it seems. And now the big question of what's going to happen with the Fed. Now, there's been no inflation. We saw CPI numbers come out today. We did see a year over year at 1.8% ex food and energy. So that's getting closer to not really a big deal, but getting closer to an inflation number that's reasonable. You want some inflation in the system, right?
Yeah, you do, actually.
So, and that's happening with housing right now. You're seeing that, although the latest housing numbers weren't great, but you're seeing the housing that there was a move when rates went up. People got really concerned and they started locking in, refinancing, buying houses and all that. And that was because they were worried about how fast it's going to move. And that's the whole point about the inflation deflation discussion. And that's why deflation is so bad, because it ends up in a spiral and nobody does anything. Where inflation kind of quickens the pace of buying, and it makes people get off their tuckuses and do something. So that's what they're trying to accomplish with all this low rates, which hasn't really
done anything.
Yeah, hasn't really turned into anything. I mean, it's a lot of sectors and certain industries have done very well, and it's been very good for companies. But the bigger economic picture and the individual hasn't really benefited from what I can see. Hmm. The average individual.
No.
Yep. So, listen, the Winkle boss, Winkle boss brothers.
Yeah, those guys.
You know, these guys weren't these... From what I remember, wasn't Larry Summers the dean at Harvard?
No, he was running Harvard.
Running Harvard when this whole deal went down with Winklevoss and the whole Facebook and Zuckerberg and all that, right?
Maybe.
At least in the movie was that.
Okay, well, the movie couldn't be wrong.
No. No. In the movie, I don't, you know, facts versus movie, but in the movie... The Winklevoss brothers approached Summers and said, hey, he stole our idea, and this is not the Harvard way, and there's a creed in Harvard to blah, 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 blah. And I think Summers blew him off, saying it's your issue. Now, they're still very active. They got a bunch of money from the deal. I mean, they didn't get the money they could have gotten, but they got the money. So there was something to be said about that, whether it was just get out of my face already, or whether it was something more than that. But now they're very interested in a fascinating concept called Bitcoin.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, brothers. So they presented today the Value Investing Congress. There's a bunch of these that happen throughout the year, and this one's in New York. There's a big annual one. This could be the annual one. It's possible. But anyway, what happens is that all these people come up that are invited, and they make a pitch. And they pitch a certain stock for a certain reason, short, long, whatever it may be. And there's a competition for the best pitch. And there's winners, and, you know, there's $50,000 that goes to the winner and all sorts of accolades, et cetera. Well, they came up, and the big question of the day was, why are these guys here? What does they have to do with value investing? These aren't value investors. These are you know, alpha or seed investors. So they come up with an idea of a Bitcoin ETF, which they, you know, they talked about.
God.
And all that. I swear. They filed paperwork for it. And it seems that the audience, if they would have had tomatoes, would have thrown them.
Huh. Well, that's definitely weird.
Yeah. But they're...
Now, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. So, let's see what else. Okay. Now, in the area of... boy, this makes me angry. I know you have been very perturbed about the way that Google has changed the inbox on Gmail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What have you figured out?
Well, it's apparently, well, they've moved, they've created a new, they've got tabs now, and one of the tabs, it says promotions, and they move a lot of mail into that if you don't get thrown into the spam box for a legitimate newsletter like we do in the No Agenda show, you end up many of the times in the promotions tab, although you can get your, you can have people get you out of there, and after a while they figure it out. But it turns out, according to at least some of my sources, that what this is really going to be is a real, it's like you have two kinds of spam. You got spam that would normally show up in your inbox that Google catches and throws away. And then you have spam that is running that you bought from Google. You buy the access to this promotions box as you're a spammer. And it's as an advertisement, it's because people are finding Google ads inside the promotions tab that are bought and paid for, Google getting the money, of course. And that's the way they see it. They say, look, we're running this mail system. You're getting it for free. What do you want for free? And so we're going to do something here, which is we're going to put these little promotions in here. And yeah, there'll be other stuff in there too, but mostly it's going to be advertising. Kind of via email, and we're going to make money on this deal. That's I think is the whole thing. That's what the scam is.
Now, have you figured out how to get around this?
Well, you could, yeah, you can, there's different ways of just closing the, not having a promotions tab.
Yeah, you close all your tabs, actually. You say you don't want to see any of them. And back to your original inbox.
Yeah, you can do that. Or you can, if, for example, if you subscribe to a newsletter and it ends up in the promotions tab, you can flag it as a real email, not a promotion, and they supposedly will correct their parsing.
Yeah, I mean, I get things that are updates, which I'm not clear what that exactly is.
See, I don't use Google. I have a Google Mail account that I only use when I have a, you know, like a real email account by a provider that does email, Computer Time, CTYME.com, and they do a great job, and I don't need to use these free services because I've always felt that they're really not free. But I do have a Google account in case sometimes, like once or twice a year, the email goes down. It just happens. It's down for a few minutes. It's down for an hour. It could be a couple hours. But I have to send something out, let's say. Then I go to the Gmail and I use that to send it out, and everything's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I use
backup,
Gmail, but I mean,
in other words.
I mean, I use Gmail for a couple of things. They do a good job at spam. They do a very good job at spam. At least I don't get that much spam. I mean, I have on my servers my emails for my, you know, business and all that, and I just can't get rid of the spam. It's horrible. I mean, I could do a lot of things like put in some kind of request for people to, you know, confirm who they are.
Oh,
or
that's
something
terrible.
Like that. But, you know, it's just, I mean, I have the spam assassin on there at the highest levels and it still comes through.
Yeah. Well,
very, very annoying. And blocking IPs and unsubscribe does not seem to work.
No, that usually, it's by law, it's supposed to, but if they don't unsubscribe you, that means these people are, you should send their, you should complain to the government.
I mean, I can't get out of, like, Tiger Direct. I just can't, I'm in the loop.
I would send a complaint to the government. It's a CAN spam act. There's an act. There's a rule of law. They can't do that. If it says unsubscribe and you click on it, you should be unsubscribed. It's just the way it works.
I've tried to unsubscribe. I don't even know how I got on this list for Quark. I think I told you this. So I wrote him. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, it just was a thorn. And I wrote him. I said, you know what? By the way, I'd like to buy 50 to 100 units. Can you have a salesperson call me? So a salesperson calls me. And I said, you know what? I really don't want to buy anything, but can you get me off your damn list? And they said they'll try, but that didn't seem to work either.
Well, keep doing that over and over. Keep telling them you want to buy 100. You just waste their time and see how long you put up with it.
Yep. And finally, in the area of, man, this guy is nice. A Boston homeless man seemed to have turned over to police a backpack that was stuffed with $42,000 worth of cash and traveler's checks that he found at a shopping mall. Now, what would you have done before we tell you what he did?
I would have probably thought about it, and I would have done one or two or three things. One, I would have just kept it, and then it could be counterfeit. There could be a lot of problems with this money. I would test, a few bills to see if they are, fake, or take them over to the Federal Reserve or do something like that. I'd have kept it probably. I'm not that honest when it comes to finding money on the street. I found a $100 bill like a month ago laying around. I didn't yell, hey, anybody lose this $100? I didn't do any of that. If it was like stolen money and you're going to get caught for robbing a bank and others was colored with all that, those packs of dye, I would probably take it right to the police. And then I would have, and then I would have kind of let it off. Or the second, you could take 10 grand out of there.
Yeah, I found 32,000.
Yeah, I found 32,000 and drop it off. Because it could be owned by the mob and you don't want to keep their money. But it's
Candid camera. Could have been a lot of things, right?
And the traveler's checks are signed usually by somebody already. So, I don't know.
Well, this homeless guy, a homeless guy. Okay.
Yeah, if I was a homeless guy, I wouldn't think twice about it.
Well, he brought it back. He brought it to the police.
Maybe there was 52,000 in there.
Maybe. But the good news is he did get a special citation for extraordinary show of character and honesty.
Yeah, that's great. And a dollar almost buy a cup of coffee.
So if you happen to be in Boston and you see a man in a box, and on the box is a citation, maybe you give him a couple bucks.
Congratulate him for his honesty.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. I mean, that's an amazing story that he actually returned that. So
another thing you can do, you got the 42 grand in the thing. I sound like I'm a criminal thinking these things, but I think everyone else does. You just sit on it for a while and you wait for some report of some poor old lady who, she lost all her life savings. Then you take it right to the police.
Yeah, well, see, the Jewish in me I'd have guilt. I'd have all sorts of guilt. If I did that, it'd be all sorts of problems.
You're wandering around.
Yeah.
And you find a backpack. You look into it. It's got 50 grand in it.
Yeah.
And you would immediately rush to the cops and say, look at this. I found this. I feel guilty.
No. I said I'd feel guilty. I didn't say I'd bring it back.
Ah, okay. Big difference. I'm so guilty.
But I will tell you. That reminds me of the time when I was in New York and a friend of mine went into Carnegie Deli. We walk out. He's got a half a sandwich left. And this guy says, I need money for food. And my friend says, I got better. He hands him the bag. The guy looks in it. He says, I'm sorry, I'm a vegetarian. True story. I was like, huh? But anyway.
A vegetarian.
It's true. True story. Before we get to our stocks, let's talk just a minute again about the Closest to the Pin competition. So what I want you to do is we have Boeing, which is where you're going to put your best guess on where it's going to be. All the information, all the instructions, everything you need to know, very easy, is over on DH Unplugged. We even have a new button. Have you noticed the new little button we have?
No, I did not.
You got to go to DH Unplugged. All sorts of, our programmers have been really on it. If you go right to the front page there of DH Unplugged, there's a little button, a small little thing, little things being added here and there. Underneath the naked women there.
Oh, yeah, you and the naked women. Let's see.
So it says tell a friend.
Play podcast. It's a huge button.
Yeah, well, you can't miss it. But we have the tell a friend button now.
Oh, tell a friend.
Click that little thing. And what you do is you tell your friend about, you know, the article or about DH.
Oh, put a little note in there, and it
sends right to
very
your friend.
Nice.
Isn't that nice? Those programmers
slick.
Are
slick.
Yeah, yeah. So you can tell some people if you want about all that's happening here.
Why didn't the two golfers on the DH Unplugged logo, why do I look like an insane maniac?
I'll leave that to the audience to decide.
Jeez.
Yep. Well, what do I look like? I look like I have lipstick on.
You look like you're 20.
But look at your swing. Look at that. Look at your upper body.
Yeah, yeah, I got some power.
Is looking,
power.
Yeah, that's looking good. That's looking very good. Anyway, so go over to DH Unplugged and just click the little closest to the pin button on the top there or somewhere around, and you will be able to enter for glorious prizes. And by the way, I just noticed we have green all over our website. We don't even have to change the color design for our new green initiative.
Mm-mm.
You know, we're right in there.
Yeah, so, very, very slick looking.
Well, we thought of this in advance, of course. We knew where we were going, you know. So let's go over there and put your best guess in for that. You never know when we're going to come up with a really good prize. By the way, seriously, you know, it could be.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, we got stuff. We'll come up with stuff. All right, let's go over to the stock list and talk about some of the things that are happening. We've got a couple of stocks that actually were stopped out with our 10% rule from the high or low.
Ooh,
or whatever it was.
Your big winner, which puts me back on top because my little stock, Live Nation, has been plugging away.
Yeah, you got a tie almost with Acadia. Now, this is obviously a game that we play each and every week. We come up with some ideas, if there are ideas to come up with, and we put them on here what we think is going to, you know, potentially do well over, you know, a period of time. And we have a few rules, like a 10% stop loss rule. But this is not a solicitation to buy or sell. Hey, by the way, did you hear? What do you think of the ending that?
I think it's great. You have to use it all the time. Yeah,
Curry did.
He wants to get some voiceover work. This is a good bit.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Yep, it does. Anyway,
you have to send me a copy of it so I can put it on the tack it on. To the show.
I did. I'll get that to you.
You sent me the whole thing. I could clip it off, but
I'll get it for you.
Straight up.
This is not an offer to buy or sell any security, of course, and you have to realize it's just a game, and investing is all fraught with all sorts of risk.
Yeah, you're going to lose your money.
Yeah, lose your money pretty quickly or make a lot of money. But anyway, this is your deal. If you want to use something from here, you know, fine, but seek professional financial advice, please. But we did take off. What did we take off? We took off, I think, two, right? One or two?
Yeah, a couple.
And Vivio came off. You only had a 68% win on that one. Poor you. Now, what was that? Insider buying again. A lot of this, boy, you're crushing it with the insider buying.
Apparently, it's the only skill I have.
Yeah, insider buying. Questcore came off with 103% gain. You know, I thought I sent you over something about insider buying somewhere. And clean energy. Did you see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I sent you a link there too. Andrew Littlefair, the CEO of Clean Energy, was the first buy he's made in a very long time.
Yeah, he's been selling. He's been taking it off the table. Now he's buying.
Yep.
And I think that's probably something we should, consider putting on there, but that should be mine.
It's yours. You can have it.
I'll take it.
Okay. I mean, we own it.
But I have two. I have two of which we're going to do that.
We'll put this here. Anyway, so from last week, nothing's looking so good. You know, the three shorts that we put on there, Molson and Pep Boys, not so good. And the, World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah.
Nothing going on there. But the Pep Boys, which had just a miserable, earnings report, I guess, is there a point that everybody's like, how much worse can it get? And then, Molson also.
I think you're shorting Pep Boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking of going long with Pep Boys. I should have done it because I think people were, you know, the cars aren't, they need repair.
I'm just going with what the chart looked like I'm trying to be logical, which is not a good idea.
Well, it never works for old ladies.
Yeah, but you're making good money on Freeport Mac, Moran. I mean, obviously, we saw that the copper and gold they do a lot of, you know, hit a bottom. Copper came up in price pretty nicely, although gold is leaking. Apollo Group up 16%, a lot of short interest there. And Berkshire Hathaway still holding on the short side. JP Morgan doesn't seem to budge. You know, they could have a $20 trillion loss and they're like, you know, 0.5%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to
be
an
investigation for criminal charges now today. They're down 0.09%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't move. So I have one idea, and you mentioned you may have a couple. A company called Homeway. I actually like the company.
But you're shorting it.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Actually, it's not the greatest time. I think they were down pretty hard, 5% overnight after the close. There's some sales by insiders. But one of the things that Homeway is and I use this service actually for a house, and I rent a house on it. You can go and actually find a house to rent. So these are buy owner kind of situations where now you have a network of houses that are available by the owners, and you can rent it as a vacation village or vacation villa.
And how's this different than Airbnb?
They're all the same potentially. Okay. And there's some of them. I'm trying to remember the one that owns all these. It's HomeAway and the other one. Vacation rental, vacation by owner.
Okay.
Now here's the thing. Recently, I know some people that went on and some news of people that are going on and they're going to rent a house. So you look at the pictures and you look at the stuff and the location and all that. And you rent the house, you send the deposit and all that. Unfortunately, there's no such animal. You know, there's really no background checks done. You put your thing on, you pay your fee and you put some pictures up and you have people then directly contact you. And then you rented them. Well, I guess the criminals got a hold of this and said, you know what? We'll put some houses up and take a whole bunch of deposits from people. And there's no house.
Mm.
Or it's not theirs.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Hello? Hello? What? We got your house for the next month?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Yep. There's something going to have to happen.
You got to appreciate these criminals.
Yeah, they're great. But one of the things that's going to have to happen is that either there's going to be some kind of a certification program that comes out with this, which will be a problem. Once this becomes news and it becomes a reality that there are these kind of problems, I think people are going to be a little bit more discriminating. And at the same time, it's going to put a little bit of a tarnish on these kind of rental companies.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the story generally I like, but you know, there could be some problems here ahead if people get a grasp of this kind of fraudulent activity going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you can put me down for this clean energy, which is CLNE.
Yep. Full disclosure, we own that.
Okay. Good for you. I don't.
Okay.
I also want to be on another insider buying thing going on. I like this one because it's kind of peculiar.
Mm.
This is SIFCO, which is SIF, mm-hmm. And their stock's been going down, and one of the insiders has been buying it. This is not major buys like Live Nation was. It's just kind of, you know, a couple.
What are they even? It's down $18 stock. MLP, is this an MLP? Production sale of range of metalworking process services and products. To produce to the specific design requirements of his customers. The process and service include forging, heat transfer.
Yeah, it sounds like a sheet metal shop to me. But whatever the case, it's possible. And this is my speculation, even though I'm doing it based on the insider buying, but here's my rationale. It's possible because of Motorola making that phone, the Moto X phone, which is a very nice little phone, making it in America. I think there may be a return to making it in America, and that these sorts of fabrication companies will be the beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in.
Well, these guys actually seem to supply Rolls-Royce, Pratt & Whitney, GE. They got pictures of major airplanes. And
yeah, they make little pieces of stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're in Ohio.
And I think Ohio is a great place for this fabrication business. Also, I think the failure of the Dreamliner to really come in at budget, mm-hmm. I think is going to reorient the country toward American fabricators. And labor's cheap right now. I think everything is pointing to yes, although I hate to buy in while we have a falling knife, but, we'll just assume that it's not going to go down another 2 points because I'll just get bumped right out. But mm-hmm. it really had, looking at the chart, it hasn't really been down to 16 for a while, so I'm not too concerned.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No, just those two.
That's it. Okay, very good. So basically, what you need to know in closing is that the closest to the pin competition, the hottest game in town, is available for you to now place your bets, guesses, wagers on Boeing. So you can go over to DH Unplugged and do that, of course. And you gotta follow the.
I'm going to contact Boeing and see if they will let us give away a jet. And then if that, I'm just going to see if they will.
That's right. And if you don't ask, you're not going to get.
Exactly.
You know? So,
or a Stearman would be nice.
Or maybe even a model replica.
A small, yes, yeah. That's probably.
You know,
what,
the one on stand.
Yeah, the one little bitty thing to it.
I'd appreciate that. I think it's great.
Those are cool looking.
Yeah. So, and it would be direct from the company. What a great prize. So who knows? And the other thing that I mentioned to you, of course, is that you need to follow The Real Dvorak over on Twitter because he's has some very pithy commentary, of course. And Andrew Horowitz, one word, over on Twitter. Let's bring the whole game into the Twittersphere here, especially if they're going to be, public and
it's actually the Twitterverse, but okay.
Oh, Twittersverse?
Yeah.
Is there spheres for anything?
Yeah, there is some other sphere, the blogosphere.
Blogosphere, Twitterverse.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, well, there you go. All right, anyway, so we'll see you next week.
Okay, next Tuesday.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.